Oh, it's early, but it's still interesting when you start seeing the American League all bunched up right out of the gate. And a legend got 3,000 hits, and a new legend is budding in Seattle. It must be Monday. It must be time to do a crossover with Locked On MLB and Locked On Diamondbacks.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to the Locked On MLB crossover show. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan, right over there. Boom, if you're watching me on the YouTubes, that's Millard Thomas. This show's being dropped on the 25th day of April, 2022. We are in late April, folks. Pretty soon we can't say, hey, it's only April. We can all relax. But it's never too early to overreact to the scoreboard because, as I said before, these games mean just as much. Hey, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB or Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen. Your second listen, that should be the other one. We're available for free wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me at Twitter at Sully Baseball, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. You can follow the show at Locked On MLB Pods. Hey, Millard Thomas, where can people find you?
Hey, at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account, or look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and Instagram for the podcast handle.
All right, cool. Well, look, we are recording this. It's Sunday evening. The Sunday night baseball game has not ended, but there's some interesting things have developed over the last few games, last few days in the world of baseball. Not the least of which is that there are some divisions in baseball that are stumbling and bumbling out of the gate, which, again, it's incredibly early, but when you consider how tight the American League is going to be, the fact that some of these teams are stumbling out of the gate early, that's going to come back and haunt some teams in September when they're desperately trying to make up for games. They're going to think back to this part of the season and think, what were we thinking? How do we not pull that game out?
Yeah, and you look at some of those teams right now, the Red Sox are a team that just been getting very unlucky with some of these games. I mean, they've been walked off like two or three times already by the Yankees and Rays this season. That Astros offense, I mean, maybe they're missing Carlos Correa, but at the same time, Correa has been an invisible man himself in Minnesota, so you can't really say that. So you look at some of these American League teams, and it's really kind of all bunched up right now. Like, even as bad as the Red Sox are, they're still only like three games back from first place. The Astros are still in it as well. No one has really separated themselves in the American League. No one really in baseball has separated themselves. I mean, you could go across baseball. The NL West is pretty tight. Really, the only team that's kind of separating themselves from their division right now is the New York Mets. And you could say, well, they faced the Diamondbacks twice already this season. So that was like five guaranteed wins right there. So
you look. Wait, what? You're calling the game against the Diamondbacks a guaranteed win? What are you saying?
I know.
What are you saying?
I'm the Locked On Diamondbacks guy. I shouldn't throw my team under the bus like that. And I think they're getting better. That offense is starting to pick up. They're going to be the only team in baseball with three starters in the top 10 in ERA. Thank you, Brent Strom. Bumgarner, Gallen, Merrill Kelly have been phenomenal so far this season. Bumgarner, that cutter was cutting today. But you look across the landscape of baseball, it's pretty much all bunched up outside the New York Mets and the NL East. So, yeah, you would have liked to see a hotter start probably if you're the Astros or the Red Sox. But at the same time, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played, and these divisions are very close.
Yeah, and the reason why I just ridiculously bring up the close divisions at this point, this ridiculously early part of the year, is for that purpose that I keep hitting like a drum, that these are games you don't have to make up later. Those games become so precious down the stretch. You got to squeeze a win out here, you got to squeeze a win out there. I'm looking around. You mentioned the Minnesota Twins, who are not off to a great start. They're an even 500. Congratulations. They're in first place by themselves in the American League Central right now. The Chicago White Sox began the season 6-2. They are now 6-9 in the middle of a seven-game losing streak. They are one game back in the loss column of first place. Look, it's never the right time to drop a week of games. I know it's April, but you can't drop a week of games in an airtight American League. And, you know, look it, I think the White Sox are going to win that division because I think they're better than this. They got off to a great start. They had a great first week and a grotesque second week. I think that it will even out. But at the beginning of the year, I thought the Twins were better than people thought they were. Remember, they're just a couple of years removed of a 100-some-odd win season and winning back-to-back division titles. They had one bad year last year. So in order for there to be a surprise team and the Twins to have a comeback, it behooves them to get out of the gate well. And 8-8 is not necessarily getting out of the gate well, but all we're grading on a curve right now. Now, there is a team that I'm going to take a little bit to the woodshed right now. And it's a team that actually won on Sunday, okay? But the reason why I am taking the Angels to the woodshed, by the way, the Mariners just won in extra innings. So the Mariners are in first place by themselves.
And you love extra innings.
I love it. I love that. God love the runner on second base crap in extra innings. The Angels won today. But here's why I'm taking them to the woodshed.
Why?
The Angels have to put a contender on the field. They just have to. Mike Trout is back. He hit a couple home runs the other day. Mm-hmm. They still have Ohtani. He can hit. We can see he can hit. He can pitch. You saw I pitched a terrific game. And people are still not even burping them as a contender for one of the three wildcard spots, which is a travesty because baseball needs to promote its stars, put its stars in the spotlight, and to have another October come and go and Ohtani and Trout playing golf would be a disaster, okay? And so I sang the Angels' praises a couple of days ago when they went to Houston. Trout had to miss a couple of games, okay? Precautionary. He's back in the lineup now. But they had to put him on the shelf for a couple of games. The Angels and the Astros. The Astros have smacked the Angels around for the last couple of years. And without Trout, I'm thinking, this is a sweep for the Astros. And the Angels took two out of three. And I thought to myself, okay, if the Angels are going to make a run at it this year, they've got to win those head-to-head games against the contenders, and they got to beat the snot out of the bad teams. That's how you're going to do it, right? So they win two out of three on the road in Houston, came back to Anaheim to face the Baltimore Orioles, and they dropped the first two games against the Orioles, including a game where Trout hit two homers. And today, the Angels took a 6-bagel lead on the Orioles. And the Orioles came all the way back to tie it. Now, the Angels did squeak out a win, but think about it. They had to scramble to not get swept by the Orioles right after showing lots of guts in Houston. And if you want to be a – look at – on the one hand, you could say you look at the schedule, you have six games against the Astros and Orioles combined, and you split them. Well, look at that. You got to do more than that if you want to be a contender, okay? And you have an easy – you just beat the team that's the defending American League champions. You showed guts. You showed chutzpah. You didn't lean on Trout. You didn't lean on Ohtani, okay? And then you come back to play the minor league Orioles, and you have to scramble for one win? I'm sorry. The reason why I'm mad is baseball needs the Angels to be good. And they can't do that if it's two steps forward, two steps back. That's how you become a 500 team. You know, and today Trout, what? He went 2-for-4. Ohtani went 2-for-4. Adele hit a grand slam. Boom. And they gave Suarez a 6-run lead in the first. He couldn't get out of the fifth. And Warren just does a disaster out of the bullpen. So I'm sorry. I know it's early and it's ridiculous. I want the Angels to be good.
Now, yeah.
You know, and this has been my TED Talk.
Man, what a rant, Sully. I mean, round of applause. I mean, a very, very impassioned. I mean, I think you invoked a few emotions out of me. I might have even shed a tear, probably not. But I don't think the Angels, unfortunately, are going to go anywhere this year. I mean, I just look at that rotation. I don't see the horses. I mean, Syndergaard has looked pretty good so far this year. Otani, he's still trying to get back to his MVP form last year. He's starting a little slow. He had that start earlier in the week with 12 strikeouts, but he's been a little up and down, both at the plate and on the mound. So he hasn't exactly found his form just yet. But I look up and down that rotation, Sully. I just don't think I see the names. I just don't think I see the talent. You're putting a lot on Otani's plate to step up and be an elite pitcher. And Noah Syndergaard, he hasn't had a lot of playing time really the last couple of years because of injury. So you're expecting a guy who's only going to make 20 starts out of Otani, and then you'll see how many starts you get out of Syndergaard, and that's basically your frontline rotation. It's just not good enough if you're the Angels. You hope Demeters could break out as a pretty young guy, and hopefully those offensive weapons that you got in Rendon and some other guys can hopefully wake up those at-bats, and maybe your offense could carry you a little bit here, because still, that Angels offense hasn't woken up yet. Otani still hasn't woken up yet. Mike Trout has gone off to a hot start, but there's still a lot of bats in there like Anthony Rendon and Jared Walsh who could still have some who could still get on fire here as the season, you know, progresses. So I think maybe the Angels, their way to victory and making the postseason is probably through their offense, because I don't think I see the horses in their rotation to carry them through a playoff series or a playoff run.
Let me just throw a couple names at you. Sean Manaea is pitching quite well for the Padres. Yeah. Thank you very much. Robbie Ray is pitching quite well for the Mariners. Thank you very much. Max Scherzer is pitching quite well for the Mets. Thank you very much.
Bassett.
So is Bassett. He's pitching quite well for the Mets. Thank you very much.
Montez.
Those are just – what?
Frankie Montez.
But I'm just saying, let me just – I brought those four names up specifically. Mm-hmm. What do all four of those names have in common?
That you could have been acquired this offseason?
They were all acquired in the offseason by teams other than the Angels.
Yeah.
And a couple of them were free agents. So, you know, when you're saying, like, oh, well, they don't have the pitchers. Well, this is not a new narrative. Trout's been there over a decade.
Yeah, it's like his 12th year.
Yeah, this is not like, oh, it's just we'll get something around. You know, so, and right now, I mean, we're looking at the team. I mean, baseball wants to celebrate its stars. You've been handed a player from Mount Olympus who's been placed in Anaheim or Los Angeles, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
And you've had over a decade to build a rotation around him. Now, I understood they backed up a Brinks truck for Gerrit Cole and he didn't want to come there. Fine. Mm-hmm. Someone has to take this money. Robbie Ray. Scherzer, when Scherzer signed that huge contract, why could it have been with the Angels? I'm not even an Angels fan. I just want to see the stars in the postseason.
Yeah.
And when I see, like, there's a chance. Okay, well, wait a minute. No one's – the Astros aren't grabbing the division by the throat and running away with it, so maybe there's an opportunity. And they won a couple games, so the Angels are in first kind of early. They're like, hey, what if they get ahead? You know, what happened in 2012 when a lot of people thought the Phillies or the Marlins or maybe the Braves or the Mets were going to be the best team in the National League East, none of those teams took the initiative, and the Nationals shot ahead and wound up winning the division handily, thank you very much. That's how you have surprise teams. And they did. They've had years to put together a pitching staff, and now they come up and they have a guaranteed way to build upon what was a wonderful series in Houston against a garbage team. Sorry, Connor Newcomb. Your team stinks. Yes, they're one game ahead of the Red Sox. Guess what? The Red Sox aren't great shakes anyway. Everyone knows the Orioles are a 90-loss team this year.
Yeah.
It gets me frustrated because, you know, we talked a little bit when I did a show with Scott Bentley of Locked on Tigers on yesterday's show, talk about Miguel Cabrera, the Tigers needed to put – if the Tigers had a decent bullpen in the early 2010s, they would have won at least one World Series, maybe two. And everyone in the world saw that, and they still didn't build a bullpen around it. Everyone since then, you know, since then, Mike Trout's been there in freaking Anaheim. They've had a decade to put a rotation around him.
And yeah,
he's been able to do it.
He's been in purgatory basically for a long time. And it's not even just the guys you mentioned. You also don't forget Carlos Rondon. He went to a California team, the San Francisco Giants. That was like a 2-year, $44 million contract with a lot of options built in. Very team friendly. You also had Kevin Gausman, who left the California team and went over to Toronto. So you could have had him for a nice 5-year, $110 million deal. He's looked phenomenal so far for the Blue Jays. So it's really been a real weakness for this Angels team we know for the last 10 years. I don't know why they haven't been able to address it. Like you said, they brought, the Brinks trucks for Garrett Cole, but are they doing that for all these free agent pitchers? Are they picking and choosing who they want? Like, I don't understand why they basically haven't given out a big free agent contract since that summer, 10 years ago, where they locked up CJ Wilson and Albert Pujols at the same time. Like, basically since that summer, the Angels are not a team that goes out there and spend money. Now, they went out there and got Anthony Rendon and gave him a fat contract last year, but there's red flags all over that deal as well. So I'm not sure why they spend the money the way they do and why they only try to go after these really expensive contracts in their lineup, not really try to address their rotation, which has been their biggest issue over the last decade. But hey, that's what the Angels want to do. And if Mike Trout wants to stay with, the Angels and keep rocking with no pitchers, then I'm going to let him rock. But if he doesn't make the postseason again, and if he ends a career with one playoff career hit, then I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to leave Mike Trout's career feeling a little cold. And I might call him overrated when it's all said and done. I know we got the crazy stats. But
it's
after
not his fault.
After two decades, I don't care whose fault it is. Either you got the stats or you don't.
Well, he's got the stats.
Where the
he doesn't have the team around him.
He's got no playoff stats. I need what's his memory?
Well, yeah, it's not his fault.
But can you remember anything?
Is Jorge Soler better than Mike Trout because he's been in two World Series?
Well, when Jorge Soler retires, I'm going to be like, man, I remember that run he had in the World Series. What are you going to remember from Mike Trout? What's his highlight or his legacy?
Well, that's
what
not
is
his
it?
Fault.
I know, but there's nothing about him that's interesting. It's like, what do you want me to remember from his career?
That's why I want to put a team around him.
If I want to remember Mike Trout, I got to go to Baseball Reference. There's nothing from a highlight footage that I'm going to see. There's no highlight reel that I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember when Mike Trout did that in a big game. There's nothing. It's all Baseball Reference and math and stats for Mike Trout, which is sad. It's not all his fault, but I want to see something in the postseason. So he might have to leave Anaheim.
Part of it is that it's like the Angels are like a broken engine of our car that cannot move. And if you have an engine that's not working, here's what you got to do. You got to go to Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible for a local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the pointless and seemingly intimidating question and wait for the person behind the counter to order parts on a computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find their solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts you are ever going to need are at rockauto.com. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen. For your next listen, make it be Locked On Diamondbacks, depending on how you're listening to this podcast. For your third listen, check out Locked On Now. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Well, welcome to Pardon the Interruption with Millard Thomas and Sully. I'm not going to stay on that for too much longer. I just got really frustrated by that. You see the Central, the Twins and the Guardians are ahead of the White Sox, even though both of them are not playing well at all. It may behoove them to just bring up
love that word, behoove.
Bring up all your best prospects now. Who knows? You could steal a division title out of this.
And for the White Sox, part of it's also, they've dealt with a lot of injuries. Like, their outfield is really talented, but Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez can never stay on the field. I think Eloy's out like 6-8 weeks now, and they still haven't seen Lucas Giolito debut. either this season. So when you don't have Rondon now and now Giolito's not there, like that rotation is a little thin right now as well. So I think a lot of injuries has played into why the White Sox haven't been as good as we want them to be or as good as we think they're going to be by the end of the season.
All right, let's talk about bags on our heads.
Okay.
On September 13th, 2021, a long time ago, the Cincinnati Reds were tied for a wild card spot. Think about that. Mid-September, they were tied with St. Louis for one of the wild card positions. And if you think with only a couple of weeks left, just play good baseball. Now, to their great misfortune, the St. Louis Cardinals went on a wild winning streak and wound up clinching the second wild card spot, leaving the Reds in the dust. But the Reds still had a winning record. They still were contenders deep into the season. And there may have been some thoughts and some hopes. The Cincinnati Reds have won two games so far. Yeah. It's early, but it's not that early to say, wow, that's not good. Okay, they're up to three wins. They won today. So congratulations. Mm-hmm. They have more wins than I have eyeballs. But the Reds have been now, they've got off to a Votto's got off to a terrible start. Moustakas is injured. Jonathan India is injured. Their rotation obviously has been terrible. Their bullpen's been worse. And there was a group of fans who had bags over their heads. Ooh. During one of the games, and one of the Reds TV crew came over to interview them, and they're basically saying, we want a new owner. We want ownership to turn this around. And of course, while that interview was happening, someone, an official from the Cincinnati Reds, came down, interrupted the interview and ordered that their bags be removed from their heads.
Really?
Now, I understand they didn't want the optics, but the optics of harassing some of the people who actually did pay money to go see the game strikes me as maybe not the smartest idea. That they have a bag on their head, but they're also buying a hot dog and wear a foam, wear number one finger or whatever they're going to buy at the concession stand. Maybe you don't want to tick off the paying customers who actually showed up there. But the Reds are a mess. Today's victory notwithstanding. And you know, they're about to start a series with the San Diego Padres. Things could get out of control really fast here in Cincy.
Yeah, is anyone surprised? I mean, they're probably upset. That front office is probably upset that they won today. Like, they came into the season with aspirations of tanking and trying to get the number one pick, because when you look at what they did this offseason, they completely blew up their roster. I mean, they just let Wade Miley go. They traded the Suarez's and the Winkers, and they're going to trade probably Luis Castillo, and they traded the Sonny Grays. Like, they basically blew up their roster. They're basically the NL version of the Oakland A's, because we know some of their fans are also protesting because they don't want their arena to move to Houston or wherever, you know, the reported places are going. So I think if I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, like, I'm probably wearing bags every game. Like, yeah, I still want to watch baseball games. I still want to enjoy myself at a stadium, but I don't need to be on TV and on cameras and let people know my identity. Just let me go as a couple of John Does with my homie and we'll go watch a baseball game with a bag over our head, because that might be the way to move right now with how they're paying that with the way they're building their team, the way they're treating their fans. Yeah, I don't want my dandy to be known that I pay for things at a Cincinnati Reds game.
There's a couple of things that are different from the Oakland situation. And the Oakland situation is pretty bad too. I will say that the deals that Oakland made involving Manaea, involving Bassett, involving Chapman, they made a bunch of trades, obviously, in the offseason. They got a lot back from them. Matt Olson, they got back, you know, they got back tons of talent for the players. So I didn't necessarily think of the moves they made as pure tanking moves. I actually think those are some of the deals they made were pretty smart rebuild moves. Some of the trades that the Reds made were just like, you're just dumping salary at this point.
They're just getting rid of players.
Now, there is another kind of insidious thing going on in Oakland in that they're trying to do everything in their power to trash the city of Oakland. And I think to open up an avenue to have them move. or to spend money that the city of Oakland doesn't have to build the ballpark by the docks. They've been talking about, this is what, the fourth straight decade I've heard discussions about building a new ballpark for the A's, whether it's San Jose, Oakland, Fremont, all these places. There's so many artist renderings. You can do an art gallery of all the artist renderings for the different stadiums for Oakland that over the years. And, oh, this is it. This is it. They're going to break ground. They're going to break ground. Still no shovels have touched the ground. I can't scream this enough. Las Vegas is going to be a disaster if you put a team there. Absolute disaster. No. There are three places you can put a major league team. You can put one in Montreal, maybe. You can definitely put one in Portland, and you can definitely, definitely, definitely put one in Nashville. I think a Nashville baseball team would be a huge success. Las Vegas, they're going to find out the same problems that, and again, I've said this before, they're going to find the same problems they had in Miami and in some of the other places they've expanded to, that there are so many transplanted people there, they're not going to embrace a baseball team 82 games a year. It's just not going to happen. And Las Vegas is a disaster waiting to happen. You have to go to a place where there is a fan base that identifies with their city, as opposed to wanting, you know, it's like everyone in Miami is still wearing their Yankee, Met, Phillies, or Red Sox caps because they all moved down there from the Northeast. You know, I think Las Vegas is going to be a catastrophe, but the A's are going to definitely, I don't think they're going to build a stadium in Oakland. I don't. If they haven't built one now, you know, they're not going to build one, you know, anytime soon. I think they're going to move to Vegas. I think they're going to regret it. But what's happening is, well, you disagree with me on Vegas?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind moving to Vegas. I think it'll just be a good time. I don't see why they still can't fill up the stadiums like how the Raiders and the Golden Knights fill up stadiums, because even though it's going to be a lot of out-of-state people, it's not going to be a lot of homegrown Vegas people going to these games. It's going to be a lot of out-of-state fans. It can still be a great crowd and still be a filled-up stadium. It just not be, if you're, you know, the home team, just not be, it might not be a lot of home crowd fans at the arena. So that might be the only issue with it, but I think you can still sell tickets and merchandise to still make a whole lot of money if you're the, you know, Oakland A's, now the whatever the Vegas team owner is. But my biggest question is, if the Oakland A's are moving, you know, arenas or moving cities, whatever, is their philosophy changing as well? Because I don't care where this team moves. Are they going to finally start spending money? Because if it's the same Oakland A's philosophy, wherever they go, where just the money ball strategy and they don't want to spend money on the field, I really don't care. If they move to Vegas and they get more money, then I need to see more money spent on the on-field product.
The Philadelphia A's of the 1900s, 10s, and 20s were notorious for putting the other World Series winner and then selling off their players the minute they asked for money. The Kansas City A's were notorious for the minute their players got any good, they traded them immediately to the Yankees. The A's under Charlie Finley won 3 World Series and dismantled them instantly. The Moneyball A's never spent more than $5.75 on the team. The only era where the A's were big spenders were during the Canseco, Maguire, Tony La Russa days, where they would spend money to keep Canseco and Ricky Henderson and Dennis Eckersley and Dave Stewart together. And they kept the core of that team together for a bunch of years. It's the only time the A's spent money. That's also the time they drew the most fans, was during that era. I used to go to A's games during that time when I was living in the Bay Area. Oakland was packed and rocking. It was fun to go to an A's game then.
Steroids, baby.
Hey, just show me where that was bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bring them back.
Let's go. Look the other way. Come on. I think that's the A's legacy, is being, you know,
cheap.
But cheap, but putting together a good product more likely than not. You know, it's like
they're smart. Yeah, they're smart with their cheapness.
They're smart, but then they can't keep it together. Yeah, I think it's going to be sad when the A's leave, just because A's fans are amazing. You go to those games, it's like there's like, you know, the other day they were saying there's like 3,000 or 4,000 fans are there. I guarantee you those 3,000 or 4,000 fans are 3,000 or 4,000 of the most passionate fans you'll ever meet. I've gone to a ton of those games where there's tiny crowds and everyone there loves the A's. They've got the signs, they've beaten the drums, they love them. I think it was a mistake to move the A's there from Kansas City. I'll say it. Okay. Either they should have stayed in Kansas City, or Finley was trying to move them to anywhere in creation. He tried moving to Atlanta, he tried moving to Louisville, he tried to move to Seattle, tried to move to San Diego, tried to move to Dallas, and finally worked out a deal with Oakland. If they were the San Diego A's or the Dallas A's or the Seattle A's, I think they would have flourished, but they didn't. He picked Oakland because he thought he could make more money in the Bay Area. And I lived in the Bay Area for a long time. They can't support two teams there. They really can't. And there was always talk about who was going to move first, the Giants or the A's. And the Giants were on their way out. They printed their both to Toronto after the 76 season and to Tampa Bay after the 92 season. And they got the big ballpark before the A's did. Sticking a stake in the ground, and that's now Giants territory. And so I think part of me hoped they would move to a place like Sacramento, where it'd be a new market, but they would still be able to keep some of the fans. But I know it's a pipe dream. I love the city of Portland. I support the Portland Diamond Project. Oh, no, that's my Mariners hat. I have my Portland Diamond Project hat somewhere. I would love to see a team in Portland. I just get the sense, kind of like how I screamed against the tide against the Universal DH. I'm screaming against the tide about a Vegas move. I think I'll be right. I hope I'm not. But what's happening in Cincinnati? Cincinnati should be like the Red Sox. The deep tradition. But not only that, they should be a team, you know, like how Boston has all of New England to sap from. It's not just the city of Boston. They have, you know, Hartford, Providence, Worcester. They have all of New Hampshire, all of Vermont, all of Maine. That's all Red Sox territory. You know, Boston is not a gigantic city, but there's a huge population of New England that makes that so great. The Reds should be the team of Columbus, Louisville, Indianapolis, you know, all throughout Kentucky. It should be a regional team like that. They have the beautiful ballpark. They have the tradition behind it. Deeply rooted tradition, going back to the 19th century with memories of the Big Red Machine and then Barry Larkin and Frank Robinson and all of them. And they've had talent on this team as they've made the playoffs a bunch of times since 2010. They just have mishandled everything to the point where you went from contending in mid-September to being this. And I think David Bell is going to be the fall guy. I don't think he deserves to be the fall guy. It's not his fault that the team stinks, but they're going to have to throw somebody to the wolves. And I think it's going to, and it's always the manager. Because, oh, we're trying something. We're trying something.
Yeah, you know? And also the players just aren't playing well at all. I mean, you look up and down their lineup, I think everyone has like below 700 OPS. You look at their rotation, everyone's like above 7 ERA. Like, no one is playing well for the Cincinnati Reds. Even the guys who are considered good, like Joey Votto or Tyler Motley's, their best players aren't playing like their best players. So it doesn't matter who's going out there. As long as they're in a Cincinnati Reds uniform, they're pretty much playing like a mediocre baseball player right now. So if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan, like, I don't know how you feel. If you're Jeff Carr doing the Lockdown Reds podcast every day, I don't know how you get up and do that podcast every day, because it's got to be tough, man. I mean, I'm covering the D-backs. They're not great, but they're no Cincinnati Reds. At least the D-backs give me a little crevice of hope and motivation every day that maybe we could make a run if we get hot and maybe make a wild card spot. If you're a Cincinnati Reds fan, like, you're basically hope you win 50 games this year and you get the number one pick in the draft. And hopefully you look at the Houston Astros model of a few years ago, or you look at like the Oakland A's or Tampa Bay Rays, where they're able to tank or they're able to rebuild their teams pretty quickly through the draft, through their farm system. And hopefully you could do that if you're the Cincinnati Reds, but you gotta have a good developmental system in place, because if you can't develop your own talent, then it doesn't matter, because the Cincinnati Reds are not a team going out there and spending money in free agency. They're not going out there and making big trades. So if their farm system isn't good, then they're going to be a team like the Texas Rangers or the Detroit Tigers, who have been trying to rebuild the last few years, and they realize it's not as easy as it looks, and they have to go out there and spend money this offseason, and they're probably going to spend more money the next couple of off seasons as well. So Cincinnati Reds have to decide, do they want to be like the Oakland A's or the Houston Astros who rebuild through the draft, or do they want to try to rebuild through the draft for a few years, suck, and then say, oh, you know what, we actually just have to go spend money in free agency because we're not good at this whole draft thing.
Well, they're not betting on themselves. They're not betting themselves with their organization. They're just not betting on themselves. If you're going to make any bets, go to BetOnline, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs, the start of the Major League Baseball Season 2. Everything you can get there at BetOnline. It's your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, hey, Miller Thomas, we're going to wrap up this show in just a minute or so. Let's give ourselves a round of applause to just the guy who has been unbelievable this whole week, and that is Ty France of the Seattle Mariners. I mean, today he reached base four times, including his fifth home run of the season. And his OPS so far is 1.115. It's been over 1.4 for the last week. The Mariners are now first place by themselves. They swept the Kansas City Royals. They're a 10-6 record. If the Mariners want to win this division, which I personally picked them to, they're going to need people to step up. And France has been, let's just say, he's been unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan that he's been so great because I'm playing him in fantasy this weekend. He's kind of the reason I'm losing right now. But yeah, Ty France has been huge. This is a guy that's kind of having its breakout season right now. He's been a good player in the past, but he's never been this good, having a huge breakout season right now for the Mariners. Jesse Winker so far is... He's been pretty cold for the Mariners, but look at someone like Suarez. He's off to a hot start for them. Adam Frazier, he's been up and down. So you look at this Mariners team, and they're going to be right in the thick of things, I think, in the AL West. I think the Houston Astros are going to wake up here as we move on toward the rest of the season. I think the Angels are probably going to regress to the mean a little bit and come back to the pack because, like we talked about earlier, I just do not believe them as a real contender in the AL West. I think it's going to come down to probably the Houston Astros or the Seattle Mariners. And whoever you choose between those two, I'm not going to argue with you, but I want to go a different way in this segment because you brought up Ty France and the week he's having. Well, you already mentioned him earlier, but I'm going to bring up Miguel Cabrera because he used to be one of my favorite players growing up. Of course, I grew up a Red Sox fan, but Miguel Cabrera was one of my favorite non-Red Sox. I started my Mike Trout trolling a long time ago, and it was usually centered around Mike Trout versus Miguel Cabrera. Who's better right now? Who's the best of baseball? And I always rode with Miguel Cabrera because he was a triple crown threat every year. I felt like we just kind of underrated him really when it came to Mike Trout because we were so focused on war. So Miguel Cabrera, you were the best player in baseball for like a 10-year period. I don't listen to anyone who says it was Mike Trout, so I'm riding with you, buddy. I just wanted to put that out there. That's my
guy. And he's getting his well-deserved praise and well-deserved celebration. So, well, look, man, we got a big week of baseball coming up. My dog is barking right now, so better take care of her. But there's been another great crossover. And you and I got to fight a little bit. I love that. We take the gloves off a little bit here. Tell the folks where they can follow you.
Yeah, whenever it's a Mike Trout argument, I always get really spicy. I need to get on another soapbox for another topic or narrative so it's not always centered around the same thing. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I want to follow my hot takes about Mike Trout, at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account, which is look up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and on Twitter and Instagram for the podcast handle.
And you can follow our show at Lockdown MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Stirring the pot with Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks. This has been the Lockdown MLB crossover. Let's fist pump there. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Boom. Please check the war. Please call me Sully.